time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the tank harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
And the carcass is lurking in the shadows.
I'm gladly going to give you something to drink now. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, who has just received the golden Christmas gift. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. You know, Shelley, we just learned something amazing about the guy who sings the Mr. Grinch song.
Who is that?
His name was Thurl Ravenscroft. He died in 2005 at the age of 91.
Wow.
He was a voice actor, and believe it or not, the Mr. Grinch song is not his biggest claim to fame. His biggest claim to fame was, "They're great."
Really?
He was Tony the Tiger.
He was Tony the Tiger?
The same guy who did the Mr. Grinch song was the voice of Tony the Tiger. What a legacy that man had, huh?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be cool to just be able to do stuff like that for a living, Forrest?
It would.
Be the Grinch, be Tony the Tiger. People should hire me to do things like that. I want to voice. Unknown Henson, he does a great job on Squidbillies as early Kyler. You guys ever watch Squidbillies?
Uh-uh.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. He makes that character. You got to see Squidbillies.
Don't touch the prim.
That voice that people have when they're missing the two front teeth. You know, there's nothing quite like that sound. I mean, the woman's. But, you know, as if the idea that I gave you, Shelley Wright, of Wright's Coin Shop, was not remarkable enough, Forrest took it and ran with it. And he took it to the platinum level. Forrest's idea is, you make a round that has Santa on one side and the Krampus on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here is, Christmas Eve, Mom and Dad, they say, "Kids, gather around. We're going to flip this coin." We don't have the wisdom to decide if you've been naughty or nice, so we're leaving this up to the fates. It's like the Yi Jing here. We're going to flip this coin. You better hope it comes down on Santa. Because if it's Krampus, guess what? You're going to die tonight. What do you think, Shelley? Can you make these? Can you make coins? Or you have to call them rounds? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
If you make it,
or silver bars.
Now, is a round just a round piece of silver?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, like coin shape.
But you can't call it a coin unless it's a currency.
Unless it has a denomination.
So we could make... I bet they're out there. You think somebody's already got such a thing? Yeah.
Forrest is going to Google it.
That's right. Forrest is going to see if this was an original Forrest Connor idea to have Santa on one side and Krampus on the other. So, Shelley,
yes.
This is the last show that we're doing before Christmas time. So tell everybody why they need to go to Wright's Coin Shop to get those last-minute Christmas treats.
We have the best stuff, and you don't have to deal with them all. And we're happy to help you find the perfect gift. We've still got a lot of things left. We still have collector coins. We still have silver eagles. We still have gold, the modern gold, the collector gold. We've got everything, supplies. There is nothing that you can't find there. Well, except for Krampus coins.
Only for now, though.
Only for now.
So when people walk in the door at Christmas time, do they have specific requests, or are they just frantic and they're just like, I don't know, give me something that I can give as a gift?
Kind of a mixture. Sometimes they might have a little bit of an idea and we kind of expand on it a little bit. Sometimes they're like, I have to have this, and we're like, okay, here you go.
Do you have any more product available that has Christmassy things on it?
As far as I know, all we have available is the Silver Eagles in the Christmas holders. They have the little Christmas scenes on them, but they better hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to be gone as soon as people hear this, boom. And then you guys are closed for the week after the Christmas season, right?
We are. We close at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and we won't reopen until January the 2nd.
Okay. So you get to enjoy Christmas Day. Are you going to be working Christmas Eve?
Actually, no, I'm not.
Okay.
I get Christmas Eve off.
So people are going to have, well, in that case, it's too late to go to Wright's Coin Shop and see you in person before Christmas.
After Christmas.
Yeah.
For the new year.
So how can people find Wright's Coin Shop if they happen to be in the Asheville, North Carolina area?
Go to 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville, which is, you know, where Biltmore is. That great, you know, Sweeten Creek Road just lasts forever. You can start in Biltmore and then end up at the airport. We're kind of smack dab in the middle there.
And if somebody wants to call Wright's Coin Shop, wherever they may live.
Wherever. The Arctic Circle, even. 828-298-5402.
That is 828. Write it down, folks. 828-298-5402. And you also sell blow-up sex dolls there. Is that right?
No. We don't have any of those this time around.
Oh.
What?
Well, that's...
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Sorry. You know, you should have had me put some back for you. I could have stowed them away.
Oh.
Did you break them all?
Well, that's too bad, because they're very popular, apparently. I have this story from Spartanburg, South Carolina. A 22-year-old man is facing shoplifting charges after he allegedly stole an inflatable Miley Cyrus sex doll. He went to Spencer's Gifts and took the Miley doll from a shelf, removed it from the box, hid it in his coat. He passed all the registers before he was stopped by the employee, who then asked for the doll. At that point, the doll allegedly fell out from his coat, presumably deflating any chance for love.
Oh.
Yeah. They say the doll is officially called Finally Miley Love Doll. And you want to take a guess at how much something like this would cost, Shelly, since you're in the retail world?
I have no idea. $199.99.
Okay. You're saying $200.
Yes.
Forrest, what do you think a Miley Cyrus blow-up doll costs?
I have...
Now, you probably...
He's going to go... $99.
Okay. It cost... $19.99.
Wow.
Now I want one. That's within my budget. Even though I'm a multimillionaire, $20 is my cutoff for blow-up sex dolls. They actually say this was released, this doll, in November of 2010 after she became an adult. And they have a whole series of these things with, you know, people like Paris Hilton, Christina Aguilera, Jessica Simpson, Lindsay Lohan, Katy Perry, blah blah blah. But this guy in Spartanburg, he's in trouble. He got arrested for stealing that. What a reason to go to jail. I mean, do you think when you're sitting there in the jail and you're having that conversation with the other guys, like, so what are you in for? You know, that I wonder if that conversation actually happens. I've never been arrested. I've never been in jail. Forrest, I know that you're squeaky clean, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Shelly, Squeaky. You're just squeaky.
I'm squeaky. Yes.
Just generally squeaky.
I'm just squeaky. I would think that question would come up quite often. Hey, what are you in for?
You think so?
You got to talk about something.
You think guys have that conversation?
I think so. And was it that he didn't have the money, or he was too embarrassed to go to the register and buy it?
I don't know, but I'd be pretty embarrassed to be in jail over a $20 product.
Heck yeah.
Especially that $20 product. Ugh. All right, well, that's what's happening an hour down the road from here. Now, how about a Dunkin' Donuts story? You know, we talk about how we love the stories that have, like, McDonald's and Burger King and Walmart, the Americana. I think Dunkin' Donuts belongs in that category. It's pretty American. It's almost actually, in our area, it's a little bit treasonous to talk about Dunkin' Donuts, because this is the birthplace of Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
However, they both sell donuts, but they're different kinds. You know, Dunkin' Donuts is more of your cake-type donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts aren't donuts.
Uh-oh. Donut fight. So you're not a donut guy, a Dunkin' Donut guy?
No, trucked in donuts, no.
Well, trucked in donuts. It seems to me that Krispy Kreme has the standalone shop, and Dunkin' Donuts, they kind of franchise into gas stations. Have you ever seen like a Krispy Kreme that's in the back room of a gas station? Have you?
Yes.
So they do that too. They're both.
And I know that they sell product to grocery stores and
right.
Well, a man exposed himself in Dunkin' Donuts. Whenever you have a combo of a man exposing himself and donut, the imagination runs wild. This is from a place called Saddlebrook, New Jersey. Guy was arrested there after exposing himself and urinating on the floor of Dunkin' Donuts. Guess how old he was? 75. Says he walks in at 4:30 p.m., opened his pants. You know, you can't really relieve yourself without exposing yourself, so that's kind of a given charge, I guess. Once you've urinated, well, we know that, we know how that process works. So they say, quote, there was a readily available public restroom for patrons within several feet of this unexcusable, disturbing, and senseless act, end quote. Okay, time for a break. When we come back, since we're getting into this level of Americana with the holiday season, why not throw in a Walgreens story? Interesting things happen there, too. We'll get to that when we return. And it's a Walgreens story from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange.
Here we go. 1, 2...
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's the feeling of Christmas. People passing, children laughing, out for mile after mile. On every street corner, you'll hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
My child looked up at me and said, Uncle Steve, he didn't know I was his father. I didn't know for sure either. I just assumed I was. I'd had his mother so many times and in so many different ways. The odds were with me. Anyway, he looked at me and said, "What does Christmas mean to you?" And I said, "Lemuel, Christmas is a time for giving, time for receiving, time for eggnog and rum, time for cutting down trees and hanging plastic doodads on them and watching them die slowly in your living room, catch fire and burn down your house and all your possessions. It's a time for buying things that haven't sold all year long, wrapping them up in shiny paper, and giving them to your friends, return them and find out you got it on sale. They can only exchange them for things of equal value, like charcoal briquettes or matchbooks with other people's names on them. Time for giving your wife that special coat she always wanted. Those seals didn't need their fur anyway. What do they want it for? They're dead already. The time for eggnog and brandy, driving home on icy streets, accidentally nudging the car next to you off the bridge into the frozen river, watching the car sink, bubbles float up under the water. It's time to sip an eggnog martini and think about the poor, talk of feeding the naked and clothing the hungry. Time to get Christmas cards from all your friends that consolidated an ally, an acme. Time for seeing all those happy children sitting on Santa's lap, Toyland, thinking to yourself, maybe I'll be a Santa next year. 12 years old is not so far from 18. Maybe I should be laying a little groundwork for the future. It's a time for parties at the office with eggnog and vodka, telling your boss what you really think of him, while he gets a perfect Xerox of your wife's rear end. Time for sitting by the hearth, sipping eggnog and tequila, your feet up on a burning log, realizing that Uncle Walt has been in your garage for 45 minutes with the car running. You say to yourself, "Damn, Uncle Walt, you were supposed to bring me back more eggnog." And that, Lemuel, is what Christmas means to me.
Soon it will be Christmas.
You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch.
Welcome back to the special Christmas edition of Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour. Yes, this is the hour when, if you haven't already, you probably need to turn off the radio, especially if you're easily offended or if there are children around. We dig into the more outrageous and controversial stuff. Shelley, you look very disturbed and confused and sad.
This is like the anti-Christmas. This is the Grinchiest, Scroogiest Christmas.
Oh, I know. If Mr. Warren had his way, there'd be a couple other Christmas songs he would be playing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There were some that I was going to play, and I was just like, I can't get away with that. I really want to, but we still are an FCC-regulated program.
Right.
You're bringing me down.
Hang the Christmas bell.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know that, Shelley.
I do.
Yeah, I was going to play that, and then I listened to it, and I was like, ah. It goes, it's a little too much. You couldn't handle that one, Shelley. But yes, get the kids away, get the easily offended away. That's not what we are here to delve into, the nice, toasty part of Christmas. We're like we're the balancing act here. You know, the apocalypse has happened, and this is bizarro land we've crossed over into. I talked about this in my free video at joshuapwarren.com. We've passed the baseline, Shelley.
You didn't say Christmas was going to be a downer.
Oh, Christmas is wonderful. It's just a different kind of Christmas. It's a speaking of strange Christmas. We lived, and now we're celebrating in bizarro land. For example, Madison, Wisconsin. 13-year-old boys, they robbed a Walgreens there. They stole candy and condoms at knife point. Yeah. A trio of 13-year-old boys allegedly looted this Wisconsin pharmacy. Now, imagine this. They walk in with knives, like, hey, you know, we're in control now. And they start stuffing all these sweets in their pockets, and then it's like, oh, one last thing. They raid the condoms. They pull the security alarm as they leave. Now, how smart is that? These guys are brilliant. Let's rob it, and then just to say, hey, look at how tough we are, call the cops. Says here, the manager followed them out to the parking lot, and he offered to let them off if they just returned the stolen items.
If the candy was in their pants, I don't want that back.
And one of the kids just threw a $15 package of condoms at him. It's like, okay, now I'm going to have to shoot you. Really? You know,
that's when you
cross the line. You come in here with knives, you rob the condoms and the candy, but I'm giving you a second chance. I think any time a man or a woman or a child throws condoms at you...
Oh, yeah, your butt's mine.
It's fine to shoot them at that point.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Oh. So, anyway, obviously he called the police. They recovered a 7-inch steak knife, a 5.5-inch steak knife, and a 4.5-inch steak knife. And they eventually caught the boys. And so they are now facing charges of armed robbery, retail theft, carrying a concealed weapon, disorderly conduct, intimidation of a victim, blah, 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 blah. What a way to screw your life up, huh?
Stupid idiots.
Yeah. 13-year-olds. What's the world coming to? Little Meyer Lansky there. Okay, next story. Vineland, New Jersey. It says an elementary school teacher was fired there after being arrested for streaking to an adult bookstore. Okay, 41-year-old tenured teacher at the elementary school says... even once named Teacher of the Year, this is a man, by the way, running naked through the streets, through the parking lot, ran into an adult bookstore. Okay, he said later, quote, he never meant for anyone to see him. Was sorry, end quote.
How hard is it to put on pants?
Yeah, that's a great defense. Why were you looking? Come on. You know, that's your problem if you're looking. Holden, Maine. Woman charged in theft of glow-in-the-dark toilet seat. A dispute over a $13 glow-in-the-dark toilet seat is at the center of a criminal case that could lead to a jury trial. Says here she was shopping with her husband and three kids at the Big Chicken Barn Books and Antiques. They got glow-in-the-dark toilet seat. Next day, she noticed it was broken, called the store and asked if she could return it, and says she was surprised by the answer from the store owner. Quote, she became very angry that I even suggested I would make a return, and she informed me the return would not happen, that she has a no-return policy, and basically once you made a purchase, that's it, blah, 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 blah. So here's what happened next, they say. Brief time later, I had an officer show up my door with a summons to appear in court on charge of theft. So she's saying she didn't steal it, she just wanted to return it, and they're claiming she stole it. Okay. Weird stuff going on in the world. What do we have here when we come back? How about this one? Here's a story that involves clothes, cable porn, and a chihuahua. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. Show that we are going to do in the year 2012, because we're going to take a little break next week and be back with you in 2013. Who'd have thunk you'd live to see it? Amazing. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and of course, to celebrate 2013, don't forget, we're going to have the big 13th night party. It's going to be on January the 7th of 2013, 13th night, here in Asheville, North Carolina, a night to party and convene with the spiritual realm, a night of shadows and mystery that will celebrate 2013 when the paranormal realm moves closer to the physical for the next 1,000 years. You can come dressed as your favorite ghoul to win a prize. Going to have a full liquor bar open there. Ghost hunts will be taking place at the Grove House where we do this. We're going to have the whole place to ourselves, private party. You get to go through the creepy mansion, including the tunnels underneath. We're going to have fortune telling, some belly dancing. I'm going to perform a short concert on my theremin. Who knows? Who knows what surprises will be in store? Forrest Connor may even be there reading auras. So if you want to go, it's just $10. Best deal of the century. Just go to joshuapwarren.com. No period after the P. joshuapwarren.com to get the details. And if you buy your ticket online, you can save some money. So this is the Dark 30 Hour. When we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, that's why we do it late at night on a Saturday. So tune out if you're easily offended. Tune out if there are children nearby. I'm in the studio with producer Forrest Connor. We have investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Here's a story from Morgan County, Alabama. Apparently and this is from, I won't even say that. It's called dumbassdaily.com. what a website, right? A lady in Alabama was off tending to a sick friend for several days. And when she came home, she found her front door barricaded from the inside, so she had to break into her own house. As if that weren't enough, she got inside and found a naked person sitting there on the couch with her chihuahua. Nobody knows what he was doing with the chihuahua, but they say the chihuahua had a terrified look on its face. Yokiro.
Don't all chihuahuas have a terrified look on their face?
I think they do.
¿Qué pasa? They say he and his alleged accomplice managed to get away, but left some clothes behind, of course, with identification in it, which made the cop's job very easy. In addition to the nudity with the dog, the couple is charged with stealing about $3,000 worth of property from the woman's home, washing their clothes while there, and charging lots of porn movies to her cable bill. What else are you going to do while you're waiting for your clothes to dry? But they say, wait, there's more. While out on bond for this, the guy and his accomplice were arrested for running a meth lab at their mobile home. So somewhere there was a fork in the road, and they chose this direction for their lives. Alabama. Old Susanna. You know, I can play that on my harmonica, Forrest. You've heard it.
I've heard it. How about on the theremin?
I haven't tried that yet. You think I should bring my harmonica to the studio one night and play it?
Why not?
I want to get on the Craig Kilborn show. You know, he ends it where you can do the mouth harp. I would take the mouth harp organ. You know what I'm talking about, Shelley, right? You know, yeah. Okay, never mind. Never mind. Here's a story from Spain. Spanish authorities have arrested a Panamanian woman arriving at the Barcelona airport. She was smuggling 3 pounds of cocaine.
Is that all?
Yeah, the border police noticed some fresh scars and blood-stained gauze on her chest, as well as some weird swelling. Turns out she had breast implants packed with, yes, cocaine.
Oh.
That shows you the degree to which some of these people will go. They say that they took her to a hospital and removed these implants to find them packed with cocaine. That's pretty awful. I mean, that's a new kind of drug bust. Yes! Yes! Waka waka! Where's the rim shot when we need it? Boom! We should just play Good Night, Ladies and Gentlemen. A new kind of drug bust. Isn't that awful? The people will do it. 3 pounds. I wonder what that's worth, but it's just you can imagine the whole series of events. And if you're going to do that, why not at least wait? Because it seems like that if she had waited till she was healed, maybe she'd have gotten away with this. That it is a good idea. It's very sick, but it is a good idea. So, you know.
It's never a good idea. Don't do it.
You and I, Forrest, we could pack quite a bit.
We could.
Somewhere. Yeah! There it is again. Boom, boom. Okay. Let's go to Germany now. Deutschland. A German leisure pool complex has taken the step of limiting alcohol consumption. That's a big deal in Germany. At its bar. Because the straw that broke the camel's back is when a bunch of naked, drunk, rampaging Austrians began to eat each other. 35, like zombies do. 35-year-old man was asked to leave for behaving in an unspecified but apparently unacceptable manner. And then all of a sudden he just jumped on a security guard and tore a chunk from the security guard. And next thing you know, these folks are, everybody's jumping around eating each other, taking a big jawful out. Germany. Germans are scary, aren't they? The Deutsch. Who knows what they're going to do? Shelley, do you know an FBI agent by chance?
Probably.
Really?
Mm.
Does he send you, you know, pictures of himself all like shirtless and buff?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. That happens, apparently.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Federal prosecutors are conducting an internal review of criminal cases involving an FBI agent facing a charge of public lewdness. There was a report from a truck driver that this agent here made gestures toward him as he was driving down the highway while not wearing any pants. He was a pantsless FBI man. Says people familiar with this guy say that he's, you know, he's got a good record. But apparently, according to the driver, 9 p.m. on a Friday, he looks over, pulls up next to the truck, and he sees that the FBI agent has the dome light turned on, and he's just not wearing any pants, quote, while making lewd gestures with his blank, end quote. And that's one blank you can fill in for yourself. They say, in a strange twist, the trooper who stopped him came under investigation by federal authorities in a sex case earlier this year. Authorities have probed allegations that he was involved in transporting prostitutes from Canada for parties in the U.S. while he was off duty. Okay, strange, twisted world, isn't it? Well, my friends, there's only one segment to go tonight in our last show of the year 2012. The big holiday edition. I'm going to end it with a story from Florida and a couple of stories about scientific progress / stocking stuffers. It is the Dark 30 Hour. You know what that means. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for the end of the show. You are listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
This heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, the song they played over the ending credits of one of my favorite movies that I associate with Christmas,
that's life.
Misery.
I'll
Stephen King's Misery. But, hey folks, can you believe it? This is our last show of the year 2012. We lived to do it. We lived to pull it off. And now we're on to 2013. Isn't that amazing?
But I'll be seeing you.
This is the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And turn off the radio if there are kids nearby. If you're easily offended or somebody nearby could be easily offended. Because we're going to read three last stories here before we leave you this year. And this is the hour when we read some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff. Let's begin in Florida. Yeah. Only once tonight. Can you believe that, guys?
Just once.
See, now that December 21st is over... In Bizarro Land, we don't have as much Florida stuff. Well, this is a story about a 32-year-old farmhand. He had a very close relationship with a 2-year-old miniature donkey named Doodle. Said that he enjoyed how the critter's fur felt against his most private places. Said that he may have come in contact with it and just by accident left his DNA. So after he was charged with a particular crime here, he now says it's his constitutional right to have Doodle back. So now there's a war raging there in Florida over whether or not this man has the right to get his miniature donkey back. I say no.
I'm going to say no, too.
Yeah. Forrest, how do you feel? Do you have sympathy for this man? It is a love story. You're just... No? Once again, we've ended the year with a speechless Forrest Connor. That's always a great accomplishment. All right, fine. Story number two. According to the scientific journal Nature... Brain cells can now be made from, that's right, amazingly enough, human urine. Human urine, isn't that incredible? They've done an experiment and they say that they have produced round colonies of reprogrammed cells from urine that resemble pluripotent stem cells after only 12 days. Here, I can't see my out time here or my timing here for. There you go. Thanks. So they actually are taking human urine cells and transforming them into human brain cells.
Pea brain.
Exactly. Isn't that amazing? This is what we've achieved. We've made it almost to the year 2013, and this is our great crowning achievement. But is it as if that weren't enough? In New York, there's a new invention that's been created by a man. And Shelley, this should be right up your alley.
Mm.
These are 24 karat gold pills that you can swallow. They cost $425 a piece. And when you swallow these pills, you eat enough of them so that you can literally crap gold. So now you can have pee for brains and crap gold. The perfect stocking stuffer, a golden turd. How do you like that? What can we say? Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Season's greetings. Happy New Year. Maybe one of you will leave that golden turd. Shelley, this is the second multi-million dollar idea that you have been given tonight to introduce. Folks, we'll see you in 2013 because that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we will be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter, the Twitter, all that business. And in 2013, come on back, tune in for a brand new one. You are commanded!
Let us talk to fall. 13 months old baby. You can laugh. 7 years of